carefully. I'd like for us to consider carefully these words. The narrow way. The narrow way. As I sat back there listening to the various testimonies, different ones sharing, maybe someone could give me some water here. As I sat listening to everyone or various ones sharing here tonight, there's something that I kept hearing. And that was, I chose to surrender. I made a decision. I'd like to give a little account. About a year ago, I had my family, and we were out in our, some miles from our house at a waterfall. And in this, it's called the Dundee Falls, and as we were there as a family, we all came down to the falls and we stood there, watched the waters fall down, and we just enjoyed it for a while. And then there's various of us decided to go the shortcut way over to the other falls. If you follow the road, it's about maybe close to a mile out around. But if you take this shortcut here, thank you. If you take this shortcut, it leads over to the other falls. And so, as we stood there, we were having this discussion. And there isn't just a real clear path from one falls to the other. And so we were having this discussion. Is it down this valley or is it up this hill? And we were having this discussion. And various ones of us said, the way to get to the other falls is, you know, you go down here through this creek and up on up the other side. And then you follow this ridge and you come to the falls. And there were some that said, no. If you follow on down the valley here, it'll lead you right to the falls. So guess what we did? There's some of us went up the hill and we followed the ridge. And there's others that went down the valley. And it ended up at drastically different places. The one led to the falls and the other did not. I won't tell you which one was correct. But one led to the falls and the other did not. We're considering decisions here tonight. So about 5 weeks ago, I received a phone call from a young man about 31 years of age. And he was facing some fairly severe struggles. And he wanted to talk, and we made an appointment to talk on the phone. So about 2 weeks ago, I had the privilege to have a phone conversation. He was from some distant state. We had a phone conversation. And he was sharing that day, he was sharing the struggles he was facing. And after listening for quite some time, I just told him, I said, you're not telling me everything. With the struggles that you're facing and the things that are going on in your life, there are things that you're not telling me. And he told me, yes, I am. I'm being honest. Well, something came up and we had to cut the conversation short. But I had told him, I said, you're not being honest with me here today. Yesterday, He called me, and I was on the phone with him for about 2 hours. And after talking for about 40 minutes, he said this. He said, "Mark," he said, "I made a decision to tell you something that I've never, ever told anyone. I'm making a decision to tell you something that I've never, ever told anyone." And he stopped and he couldn't talk. And he was quiet for 5 minutes. And I told him that you're not the only one that has made bad choices. There's lots of other men that have done the same thing. I know the things that you're going to tell me are shameful and very difficult. But if you want to serve God, you're going to need to be honest and choose to do what is right. And I don't know how I can express that heart tonight, but I look across all of you youth. I'm not sure how many of you it is, you know, that are here at the Bible school this week. You may have about 160. But in a group this size, it's not uncommon for there to be individuals that are sitting here in a group, and you're choosing the easy path. You're choosing the path that feels the easiest for your flesh. And let me tell you, the Bible talks about the narrow way. And my burden here tonight is that there's some of you sitting here tonight that are choosing, you're specifically choosing. You have chosen, as the week has gone on by, there's some of you that are still sitting here that are still choosing to go down the easy path on down through the valley. And let me tell you, that path ends at a drastically different place than the narrow way. It won't end up at the waterfalls. It won't end up there. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read in verse 13 and 14. "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat." Let me just tell you that there are many that are choosing. And there's some of you sitting here tonight that are still choosing. There's decisions and choices we make that lead us to destruction, and many which go in thereat. "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and how many?" How many is few? How many is few? Two. Three. How many? Few. You look at the whole wide world, and let me tell you, there's how many that find it? Are you finding it? There's few that be that find it. Turn also to Luke chapter 13. I'd like to look at a couple verses here. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, we're going to start reading verse 24. "Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in." What will they do? What will they do? Seek to enter in. Now let's see what it says. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and let's hear that again. There's many that are going to seek to enter in and they will not be able to. Isn't that shocking? People actually seeking to enter in and they won't be able to enter in. Very sad. He goes on and says, when once the master of the house is risen up and has, what? Shut the door. And ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know not whence ye are. Those are quite the words. I'd like for us to maybe first of all consider here tonight, and I'm going to ask that no one looks at the clocks tonight, and I'll stop before an hour and a half, okay? Is that okay? All right. I'd like for us to consider the little phrase, strive to enter in. Strive to enter in. I'd like to just relate a little account that happened here a couple of years ago in our woodworking shop. So we have this furniture thing, and we manufacture bedroom furniture. And what was happening is we were very busy, and because of the busyness, there was a backlog, and the orders were getting pushed out and pushed out. And so as we looked at everything and we evaluate what steps to take, we made this decision. We told all the employees that what we're going to do is we're going to put a bonus in place that if everyone works an extra hour every day and we put out an allotted amount of furniture that needed to go through every week, and if we reach our goals, everyone will receive a bonus in the end. And guess what everyone did? Everyone put their mind to work, and for about four weeks, everyone pressed into it. And there's everyone that was striving for all they could because, why were they doing it? Because of the bonus. Was it because of a lot of work? No, not really. They didn't care, right? I did, but they didn't. But they did, right? They wanted the bonus. And so they made a choice and a decision to strive to give it all they have. And guess what happened? They met the goals. They met the goals. As I look at this group this evening, I don't know if there are 500 people here tonight, maybe less, maybe more, I don't know. But I'd like for us to consider here tonight, way beyond just the youth that are sitting up front here, I'd like for us to consider how many of us are striving to enter into the gate, and we're striving for the goal, and we're giving it everything we have. I wonder how many are doing that. And I wonder how many are sitting here tonight, and there's a lot of things going on around, and there's lots of things we're caught up in. And we're caught up in everything but serving God. We're caught up in all these other things. But let me just tell you, there is the narrow way. And only the people who are on that narrow way will enter in. And the Bible says that there's many that will seek to enter in and they will never make it. They'll never make it. Strive to enter in. You know, about 3 weeks ago, our family was on a little vacation. On a family vacation, we just got away. And, you know, we didn't do all the amusements. We didn't do all the stuff. We just simply had time together. Right? Getting refreshed in the Lord, enjoying yourselves in the family, as a family. And my sons, they enjoy running, right? They enjoy running. And one of my sons, here, a year or two ago, he used to run regular, you know, mile after mile after mile, he could do it. But he hadn't done it for a long time. So two of my boys, they went out on the road and they ran. And after, I'm not sure how many miles it was anymore, but they went to the grocery store. When they got to the grocery store, they were both at the place where they were too tired to run anymore. It was a couple miles. They turned around and they ran back. And as they were running. And I don't know if you've ever done runs like that, but they say that if you run like that, you have to push yourself and you have to push yourself until you come to the place where you spit up. And when you spit up, you know that that's the max that your body can do and you stop. And when they came back, they were just at that place. Right? Okay, now why did they do that? But I'd like to just ask the question, what are you doing in your walk with God? Right? What are you doing in your walk with God? Just sitting on the easy chair, right? Straight is the gate. Straight means that there is this narrowing process. Straight means not only that it's straight, but there's this narrowing process that happens. Let me tell you, the way of the cross, the straight gate, the straight way, let me tell you, the way that God is wanting us to walk is a way that narrows and it hurts and it's not pleasant to our bodies and to our feelings and to the things that we face. You know, it's not enjoyable. But it says, enter ye in at the straight gate. There's many that when things get a bit difficult and things get to the place where it doesn't feel good, many turn back. There's many that sit down. There's many that choose to just take a little bit easy. There's many. But there's this narrowing process. And I like to just promise you, all of you youth, the way of the cross, the straight gate, is this narrowing process, and the things, the choices we make, the things, the path that God wants us to walk in, usually is a difficult path. And if it's a difficult path, there's again choices and decisions that we need to make. Many try to find it and never make it. Many, many, many. It's a life of self-denial. It's a life of turning away from worldly pleasures. It's a life of turning away from the things that feel good to me to obey God. It's not a self-denial just for the sake of self-denial. It's a decision to obey God and His Word and to follow Him consistently. It's a life of humility. It's a life of fasting. It's a life of surrender. It's a consistent Bible reading and prayer. It's many, many disciplines and things that God says, this is the way, walk ye in it. And I get up the next morning and I don't feel like it. And I get up the next morning and I still don't feel like it. And I get up the next morning, but I'm making choices. Choices day after day to obey God and to follow His will. There's another term that's called the broad way. The broad way. And there's many that follow the broad way. And I don't think we'll spend much time there tonight. But consider with me. On the broad way, there's many Bible-believing, church-going Christians on the broad way. There's throngs of people in our neighborhoods. There's throngs of people everywhere that are on the broad way. There's lots of wickedness. There's easy believism. There's lukewarmness. There's people who call themselves Christians, but they're lukewarm. There's rebellion. Rebellion to parents and rebellion to authorities wherever. But I'd like for us to consider tonight the 10 virgins. I'd like for us to consider that in the account of the 10 virgins, there's something that for a long time in my Christian life, I didn't connect with some of the principles that he was bringing. With the 10 virgins, there's obviously 10 that are virgins. There was 5 that had oil in their lamps, and there was 5 that did not. When the bridegroom came, they were all sleeping, and the call went out, the bridegroom's coming. Rise. He's coming. And there's 5 that were ready, and there was 5 that was not. Now, I would like to just have us consider tonight that the virgins, they were all virgins. All the virgins had oil in their lamps, right? So that means they were serving God at one point, is that right? So he's not talking about the world out there. He's talking about those that have chosen to serve God. You following? And so we have 10 virgins that chose to serve God. And out of those 10 virgins, what percent didn't make it? How much? 50. 50% of the people, of those virgins who had the Holy Spirit, who were virgins, who chose to serve God, came to the place where their oil ran out. Their lamps went out. I wonder how it would be here tonight if 50% of the people here tonight, the oil would go out. How many is? Okay, you can put a line down through the center. Which side do you want to be on? Do you follow? I for a long time didn't connect. But I believe what he's actually trying to say. That in the larger picture of Christianity, and of those not only who profess to be Christians, but of those who have actually repented of their sins, they have chosen to serve God, and they walked with Him, but they have allowed their lamps to go out. 50% of those people will never make it. That's pretty sobering for me. Do you follow that? That's very sobering for me. 50% of the people who actually get right with God and serve God come to the place where they let their lamps go out. And when the lamps go out and the bridegroom comes and the call goes out, the bridegroom's coming. Go ye forth to meet him. What are the 50% going to do? Give me of your oil, right? Give me some of your oil. Lord, help us. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I heard that one of the messages this week had to do with surrender. Am I right with that? Another word that can be used for all that is to just sell out. Right? Sell out. Surrender. Give it all. Let me give you a little story. This past spring, when the whole COVID thing started, you know, there's a mad rush for the toilet paper, right? There's a mad rush for the toilet paper. And when the mad rush was for the toilet paper, a couple of weeks later, I went into our neighboring store and I walked in there. It was a little, you know, bed and dent store. And I walked in there, and of course I know the owner personally, and he was behind the counter, and we were there, and, you know, started talking about the crazy stuff that was happening and all that. And then he sort of leaned over the counter like this, and he said, I have to tell you a story. He said, as the COVID thing was starting to hit, and there was this mad rush for toilet paper, he said, there was this older couple. There's an older couple from the community, and he said, they don't come in here very often, but he said, they come in here. And he said, they came in here one day, and they filled up their cart with toilet paper. And he said, they paid and they left. And he said, a day later, here they come in again. And they filled the cart the second time with toilet paper and they left. And the third day, they came in. When they came in, he saw them again and they were in the back aisle where he couldn't see him. And there was no one else in the store. It was a husband and his wife. And all of a sudden, he said, I heard this crying. I heard this lady crying. And he said, she came up and she was sobbing when she came up to the counter. And she asked the question, don't you have any more toilet paper? And he looked at her and said, ma'am, he said, we're sold out. I don't have any more to give to you. We're sold out. I'd like for us to consider that there's many of us that are holding on to stuff. And we aren't at the place where we're all sold out and there's no more to give anymore. The Lord is looking to us that we surrender, that we give, that we yield, and we give all so that until there's no more to give anymore. This woman, crying, sobbing, came up. She said, don't you have any more? He said, there's no more to give. But I wonder what all of us are holding on to. Right? I wonder. Recently, I was talking to a young man, and I put my finger on a specific issue in his life, and he said, I can't give it up. I can't give it up. Now, do you have an area like that? Do you have an area like that that you can't give up? And I wonder what that is. Many will seek to enter in, but won't make it. Let's just consider again. The narrow way is a narrowing process. Where the things that I could do a year ago, the Lord's been putting His finger on that issue in my life. And He says, are you willing to give that up? Then I surrender it. I give it up. I just give it up. And God puts His finger on another area in my life. And I again choose to just give it. I choose to sell it out. I choose to just give it all. I'm not holding anything back. And then guess what? God puts His finger on yet another area. Isn't that how He does? Here's another one. Obedience to God and His Word. Obedience to God and His Word. I'd like to just have you consider this little phrase tonight. and I'm going to give it to you. If the Bible says it, do it. Why, do you think that's a good idea? If the Bible says it, if the Bible says it, but you know what? It's so easy to do. Hang on to it. I don't want to. It's hard. My reputation. Now, how many of you think that I struggle at times because I think I want to have a good reputation? I mean, do you think I do? Yes, she does. I mean, do you think I struggle with it sometimes? I mean, do you think I do? Yep, he does. You too? I do. Right? And guess what I do? When I become aware of it, what do you think I should do? Surrender it. Right? Just give it up. Just yield. Just give it all up. In this journey of walking down the straight and the narrow path, it's a path of humility. It's a path where we choose to humble ourselves. It's a path that in a brotherhoods, in church settings, and I'm going to go way beyond the youth here. I'm talking to the back, you know, on the back, because there, I trust the ones on the right here don't have much pride. They're humble. The path of humility is a path where we daily choose to humble ourselves. We daily choose to give up things that are dear to us. Leaders, let me tell you that there's many leaders that have lots of ego and pride in their leadership and all kinds of things. Right? Okay, I'm talking about the big circle, and I look at us in here, you know, you leadership. I think I can honestly say that we're all tempted with it. I know that. I'm one of them. But let me just tell you, the path of humility is a path in brotherhood. It's a path as young people. It's a path where if we want to grow in grace, we have to walk in humility. Not so long ago, I went to a brother and I just asked him, "Brother, I'm opening myself to you. What do you see in my life?" And you know, it's sort of easy to do that to people that you know think well of you, right? But when there's brothers that you know don't think the highest of you, and you walk to that brother, to that sister, and you say, "Brother, sister, I'm opening myself to you. Speak into my life. Tell me some of the things you see." And guess what happens? It takes some humility to do that, right? Because we're scared. Because we like to think that everyone thinks well of us. I like to just maybe encourage us here tonight. That's one thing I would encourage you to do. And if you forget most of everything else that I told you here tonight, I'd like for you, all of you here tonight, exercise this one thing. Within the next 2 weeks, I would like to go for you to go to a brother or a sister, sisters to the sisters, brothers to the brothers. I want you to go to someone who you know maybe might have some issues with you. Might have some concerns. Go to them and just open yourself and humbly ask, "Is there something in my life that I should be aware of?" And humble yourself. Do you think that's a good posture to be in? You think that? Now please do it to the ones who you know are going to be honest with you. Don't do it to, you know, all of us have those people that, "Oh, they think well of me," and don't go to them. Don't go to them. Go to someone who you know is going to be very honest with you. Just say, "Is there something in my life that would be good for me to be aware of?" Humble yourself. Humble yourself. It's a part of the narrowing process. Preachers, do the same thing. All of you have had a long week, and I don't think I should make it late for you. I've got a lot more I could say, and I'm halfway done. Okay? This is my burden. If I could just share with you my burden, very simply. In Bible schools like this, often, about 10 years later, there's a small percent that are at a very bad place spiritually. If you come to me afterwards, I can give you name after name after name after name after name after name after name. After name. know what I mean? And it's because of the decisions that youth are making. And they're choosing not to embrace the narrow way. I don't know how to communicate that to you. You're here tonight, and you're making decisions this week. But in a group this size, many times there's a small percentage that in 5 and 10 years are at a very bad place spiritually. Why is that? Why is that? Because of the decisions they make. Why is that? Because of the decisions they make. And I wonder, this is my burden, I wonder where you're going to be in 10 years from now. I wonder. I could take you name after name after name after name. And they chose small decisions, and it led them to a place that you would never dream to be. Today, you sit here, you have aspirations, and you want to serve God because that's the right thing to do. But many end up at a very different place. How many of the virgins, what percent of the virgins lost out? 50. What percent of the virgins lost out? Which part of those virgins would you like to be? The choice is yours, right? It's your choice. So I guess I'm just simply calling us to make choices, make decisions, humble yourself, choose the right path. The one ended up at the waterfall. The other did not. The other did not. Lord, bless you all. Be faithful. Do whatever it takes. Exert your energies into serving God. With a full surrendered heart and walk in humility. Lord be with you all.